Welcome back to the Golf Shop. Mark Greenhalgh, Mike Fracina. All right, are you ready to do some stretching? Because
limber up.
It's time to bring on from Radius Yoga Conditioning.
Yikes.
Dana Santis. Dana, welcome into the Golf Shop.
Thank you. I think after the yikes and all the stretching comments. But yeah, I'm glad to be here. Are you happy to have me?
Very, Dana. Very. I'm so excited. But I do want to start off with one thing. You know, yoga has, it's in the middle of a renaissance. The 20-somethings and even the Gen Xers have really embraced yoga as an activity. But to some older folks, and a lot of those people are golf enthusiasts, yoga still seen as more spiritual than physical. And how do you address that with somebody who's older who thinks about yoga and thinks of it as sort of an old-fashioned activity that's more spiritual than physical?
So to answer your question, if I do have someone coming in and they're averse to the philosophy or the spiritual side of things, I quickly let them know that this is all about getting you to breathe better and move better and feel better in your body. It's not about taking it to some esoteric level. And I'm a science geek, so I'm always bringing it back to biomechanics and physiology.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of discussion about biomechanics and golf, and some people like Brandel Chamblee don't believe in it. Others do. Sean Foley believes in more biomechanics, and some of these newer coaches do. Give us a feel for it. Let's look at it from a golf perspective. When I step up to the first tee, and I'm getting ready to hit my first tee shot, what can you do for me that's going to help me hit that opening tee shot in terms of getting prepared to hit that opening tee shot?
Okay, well, there's a lot that I can do for you. So let's see, where should we start? Do you want mental or physical?
give Greeny physical, because I'm going to need some mental.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good way to go.
Okay, so wait, I'm starting with mental?
You can start with physical with me. Physical's, I'm fine with the mental side of it. The physical thing is what I need. I'm sitting at my desk 5 days a week doing stuff for the bank and doing radio shows a couple times a week. I may not have a great time, enough time to warm up. I may walk up to the first tee, have about 3 minutes to stretch and do some things. But what can I do before I get there? Like I'm sitting in a conference call at home. What can I do to help me get prepared to hit that first tee shot?
Well, you need to work on that enormous range of motion, right? And velocity that you need out of your hips and your thoracic spine. And then also, if you're sitting a whole lot, as most people are, especially recreational golfers, human beings, we sit a lot. And then we end up wreaking havoc on our core and our low back. So where we need to have stability. And also our breathing sucks. And our breathing is just essential for the mental side of things. But people tend to get that because they're like, okay, I can leverage my parasympathetic nervous system. You know, I can calm myself down with breathing. But breathing biomechanics are also crucial to how your body moves, because the way that you breathe dictates the position of your rib cage. And if your rib cage is in the wrong position, you're going to have a difficult time really moving fluidly and definitely powerfully from your mid-back, from your T-spine, your thoracic spine. So are you starting to pick up what I'm putting down in terms how much I could really help you to be prepared? And that's from getting you in a better posture when you're actually sitting at your desk all that time, so that you're not compressing your low back and you're not teaching your body that that's the way that you want to be all the time. Getting you to breathe better so we get your rib cage in a more optimal position, so that then when you only do that couple of minutes of warm-up, which I would also want to tell you exactly what those couple of minutes of warm-up should be before you then, take your first swing, that's it's extremely effective, and it's not what people think. I am so against saying, okay, golfers need to go in and do an hour of yoga, you know, five times a week. Or I don't think anyone really needs, when they have a different sport. If yoga is your sport, go for it. Spend an hour in a class, spend 90 minutes in class. I don't care what you do. But if you have a different sport that you want to spend the bulk of your time playing, then let's make yoga efficient and effective and put it into the context of the way that you need it. So we apply it the right way. So I would be looking at, you know, where are you already in your hip mobility? Where are you in your T-spine mobility? And, you know, I want to look at how fluid is your swing, and then I can be more precise about what I give you to do. Of course, there are fundamentals, and we'd start with the breathing and the posture.
So if we want to get started with something that might happen for even just a few minutes a day to help strengthen our core and might be based on some sort of yoga principles, what should we be trying to do?
So the diaphragm is the king of your core. People think of the diaphragm as only a respiratory muscle, but it's also a postural muscle. So you want to make that functional. So diaphragmatic breathing that's actually work, that's training. Like when I work with athletes, I initially am training diaphragmatic breathing like a core exercise. So I have them on their back with their legs up, and so knees and hips are 90-90. I put a yoga block between their legs to get a little adductor engagement so they aren't externally rotating in their hips, which most human beings tend to do, just in their normal sitting posture, standing posture. So I correct that, and then we work on rib cage mechanics so that the diaphragm has a place to actually move. Because, again, if your breathing is poor and your rib cage is yanked up, which it is for most people, and their bottom ribs flare out, then your diaphragm can't dome on exhalation, which means then it's never going to be able to function right. And that's why you end up with all this chronic neck tension and bad posture that gets blamed on, like, text neck. A lot of times I find it, I'd like to call it respiration neck, accessory breathing muscle neck, because when you can't breathe with your diaphragm, your body's really effective in figuring out a compensation strategy. So it says, okay, then I'm going to, if you yank your rib cage up here, I'm going to start to use neck muscles, chest muscles, upper back muscles to help pull the air in every time you inhale. So those muscles are going to be on all the time. They're going to pull your shoulders forward. Do you know this posture? Does this sound familiar?
Yes.
So when I lay athletes on their back and I've got their legs up, I make them slide their scapula, their shoulder blades down their back, which then if they get their lower traps to activate to pull the scaps down, then they shut off their upper traps. So finally their neck relaxes. And then I get them to focus on breathing in the part of their rib cage that is supposed to move. So the low lobes of the lungs where we have more room to actually breathe. And if you think about your rib cage, that split that we have in our rib cage, that inverted V, the split part is the part that's designed to move. I hate the term belly breathing. So I know you said, tell us how it's yoga. Well, they say belly breathing in yoga all the time, and it drives me nuts. I think my head's going to explode. It's not belly breathing. You need to focus on rib cage mechanics. When you inhale, your ribs should, on that bottom part, the inverted V part, they should externally rotate and actually expand out to the side. You're not your belly rising. It's going out to the side. When you exhale, they should internally rotate. So that's internal obliques, and then transverse abdominis, that low, deep core, should help pull them down. And that's where the money is, because when the rib cage comes down like that, then the diaphragm can get sucked up inside like a balloon. It gets sucked up and domed. And then it's your diaphragm from that point that pulls the air in. You're not using your neck anymore and your chest muscles. That frees up everything because all our muscles work in chains. And now when you want to rotate, when you want to have, like, so not just golf, but like pitchers who need shoulder mobility and T-spine rotation, it all frees up. And then, you know, it's like, oh, wow, you didn't stretch anything. You just changed my breathing, and suddenly I'm way more mobile. So that is where I start everything with every athlete, from golfers to NFL players to anybody. So do you see how that works?
Yeah.
Just focusing on breathing. And the exhale oftentimes feels like a crunch, because if your rib cage is jacked up a couple of inches and you have rib flares at the bottom in that part where I told you it's supposed to move, then you have to really start working on obliques and transverse abdominis to get it to pull down. I'll have guys 2 minutes of breathing. They're in a full-out sweat. They're lying on their back. Anybody looking from the side is like, oh, that looks so easy. That looks relaxing. It's not, because we've got to retrain our bodies, and they've got to work really hard to get that to work right.
Wow.
I feel like, wow. I'm geeking out on you about breathing.
No. I mean, it's the one thing we never thought we'd have to improve upon. I mean, you think about athletes and sports-specific training. The one thing most athletes probably take for granted is that they know how to breathe.
Yeah, great. And then I rock their world because I can show them, like, I can do it. And a lot of this, I don't want to act as though I'm making this up. A lot of this comes from the Postural Restoration Institute. So kudos to them. I've done a ton of training with them. They're like a second family to me. So based on the principles I've learned from them, I can take an athlete, I can do an internal shoulder rotation test, you know, and we'll be like, okay, that's where you are. And now let's do 2 minutes of breathing my way. They might end up in a full out sweat. You know, they're breathing, working their core. They're getting their rib cage in a better position. We do the same shoulder internal rotation test and they gain 2 inches. And it's like, what? Hold the phone. You know, how did that happen? And that's, it seems like a parlor trick, but that's how I get buy-in, because then they realize, oh my gosh, breathing is like this missing superpower that I just took for granted.
All right, well,
it doesn't take a lot, but you've got to train it.
All right, we're talking to Dana Santis. I mean, oh my gosh, you're educating us big time. Let's take it back to that position on the floor. This is something that our listeners can actually do and embrace at home. Get on the floor. Get your hips at a 90 degree, get your knees out at a 90 degree, maybe put, if you have it at home, would you suggest even like a pillow between your knees to squeeze?
Yeah, pillow works fine.
Okay, and then your ankles are next to one another, correct? And your feet are also at a 90?
No. Keep your ankles, knees, and hips all hip distance apart.
Okay, so more, probably even wider than a pillow. We need something a little bit wider than a pillow to squeeze get your hips squeezed in the proper way. And then it's a matter of trying to move your breathing from out, you know, down in your belly to up in your diaphragm and expanding your rib cage. Am I correct there?
Yeah, so this is how I get people to understand it first. If I can't be there with them to put my hands on their lower ribs, just take your hands, and you guys could do this right now, because you can do it sitting, you can do it lying down. Ideally, I want them in that position that you just described. But from your seated position right now, just take both hands down to that part of your rib cage, the upside down V, so like an A-frame, and take your hands there. And then inhale, and you should feel that part of your ribcage. That's where most of the movement should be. Of course, the chest is still going to move. I mean, it's designed to be that way. But most of the movement should be there, and it should be expanding out towards the sides. So try that.
Oh, we're trying it. We're trying it. And I can imagine this being actually quite a workout. When you get on the exhale, it starts to feel like a crunch. That's exactly right.
Exhale should feel like a crunch. And that's when the rib cage, that part of the rib cage, it should come in towards each other. So imagine the V is wide, right? The upside down V is wide, but then it starts to come in and down. Those are internal obliques. And then transverse abdominis is what pulls it down. That also pulls you out of many athletes are in an anterior pelvic tilt. That means their pelvis tilts forward and their low back gets compressed and their butt sticks out a little bit. And then you get all that low back pain. There's no transverse abdominis involved in an anterior pelvic tilt. So when you start to use your breathing to get those muscles to fire, things start to realign. Back pain starts to go away. Core strength starts to come back. And and then there's a whole host of physiological effects that I was mentioning, like obviously better calm, concentration, honing your focus, more control, because you can tap into what's called your parasympathetic nervous system, which is the opposite of fight or flight, which is what I generally feel. I have to think about this very carefully when I go up, and my short game is way better than my long game. And so I start to freak out, you know, I'll never get it across the water. And I have to be like, Dana, breathing.
Well, Dana, we're up against it. We're going to have to get you back on so we can talk some more about this stuff.
Okay, I love it. I feel like I just talked at you. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. I think everybody learned a lot, and we're all going to work on our breathing. And when we come back next time, we're going to be breathing a lot better, right, Mike?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Dana, we appreciate you coming on with us. That's Dana Santis and Radius Yoga Conditioning.
Yeah, check it out, radiusyoga.com, and we'll actually have a piece from Dana on our website very shortly.
All right, well, that's our show for tonight. Make sure you join us right here every Thursday night, 7 to 8. You're listening to the Golf Shop Radio Network.